You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
They're maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong. That's why
he's here! Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 at MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. I am back in the saddle in a new decade, 30, treating me like something. Dave, you killed it while I was gone. Thank you for filling in, taking not big shoes, but normal-sized shoes.
You are much larger than me as a human being. So they are large shoes, although they're nice right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, I got the new
those.
Pair of kicks for the birthday. Yeah. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate that. Doyle, thank you for being back. I heard you had some voice problems. There was something going on.
Yeah, just a little midsummer allergies or something, but I'm back. I didn't spend, a weekend or a week of high altitude training like you did. So I can't say that I'm going to be able to make it to the end of this show. But Wiebe, I imagine now you're in the best shape of your life.
I mean, undoubtedly. I mean, I wore the altitude mask in the altitude, so it's double altitude. I don't know if you know anything about that.
You were at the Olympic Training Center.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Running up and down stairs, doing very strenuous activities. We did go biking. We did go rafting. The rest of the time was spent lounging and missing out on some things in MLS. I've caught up. That's all good. I also will talk about this in the mailbag. There was this cultural phenomenon that happened while I was sequestered at like 11,000 feet, and that is Pokemon Go, and I just don't get it, and I don't know why it's happening at MLS stadiums, and we've got some mail, and you've got some things certainly to explain to me. I'm sure it'll be happening on Sunday, a big MLS Sunday this weekend. You will want to tune in. It's back to back to back, so we're kind of used to those two games. Well, it's three this time around. It's going to start on Fox with Cascadia, Portland and Seattle, and that's a big one, of course. Big Fox, not Fox Sports 1, not FS1, Big Fox. We'll get to FS1 in just a second.
Oh, also, warning for anyone in Portland, that game is starting. It's not starting 37 minutes after. So, like, be there when it says to be there, because
right,
that's when it's kicking
right,
off.
Right, because it goes back to back to back. That's 3 p.m. on Fox. I got confused because 5 p.m. is the Montreal and New York City FC game. That's Frank Lampard and Didier Drogba. We'll talk about them in the second segment. And then it's Philly, New York at 7 on FS1. So, like I said, Fox, ESPN, FS1, a nice trifecta there. But, look, Wednesday was a big day, too. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, Ruben Sambueza wants to come to MLS in 2018. So that's good news. I'm excited about that. He says L.A., New York, or Chicago. No surprise there. At that point, there should be two in L.A., two in New York, and one in Chicago.
Not that he knew that, by the way. They just
right.
say cities.
Yeah.
People from other countries just do interviews
right.
and say, I want to play in MLS, and here are cities I've heard of.
Right. Well, it's like if right. you ask me, where do I want to go in the Czech Republic? I'm like, I want to go to Prague, and yeah, I think I'll just stick with Prague.
We'll go. No, you want to go to Český Krumlov,
okay.
the most picturesque town on the planet.
Okay, that sounds nice. Yeah. What kind of podcast team do they have out there? Good stuff? Pokestops?
Yeah, they definitely have some Pokemon, but I don't know.
All right. Well, look, before we get into the Landon Donovan Chipotle homegrown roster, that's what I'm calling it because he's the coach and he made the choices. Let's talk about Atlanta United because I was kind of not taken aback, not surprised, but excited when I came back from my internet break and I saw that not only are they linked with Kinwin Jones, who is Matt Doyle's favorite person to link every MLS team with, they're also linked to the 21-year-old attacking midfielder, Argentine cat, Hector Villalaba from San Lorenzo. I mean, it looks like they're making moves, Doyle. They're doing what we want expansion teams to do, and they're certainly fueling this conversation because those are some actual names.
Yeah, and they've signed a couple of guys already. I like what they're doing with their spine and their philosophy, and I think that the fact that they already have 31,000 season ticket deposits, something absurd like that, means that they could be a little more selective. They don't have to go out and sign a Premier League veteran who is on his last legs in order to, sort of ensorcel the local populace. So I like a lot of things about what Atlanta United's doing. It is weird, though, that they don't have a coach yet. It is weird. It's getting to that point where they need to figure out who's going to steer the ship once they leave port.
Who do you go with, Dave? If you're Atlanta, you're looking around. I'm not saying an exact name, but
yeah,
give me
right.
like a, they do have a jersey sponsor. American Family Insurance is plastered on the thing. They don't actually have a jersey yet, though. That'll come out later this year. But what kind of coach do you go with?
I mean, you want a guy who's – I think you want a guy who's experienced in this league. I don't think you want a guy who's European and taking his first opportunity or from any other, you know, area of the world. And I think you want a guy who's experienced in this league, maybe a young guy, though, a guy who can inspire people. I know there's rumors of him going overseas, but a guy like Carl Robinson, I think, is really interesting. Not saying he's moving anywhere,
right.
But that type of coach, a guy who understands MLS, understands the world game or the international market, and also can find a way to maybe play a style that will be appealing because it's going to be tough. I mean, Jason Christ is the perfect example of what I just said, and he couldn't get it done in one season. It's going to be tough no matter what. My fear and what Doyle is trying to say is I worry about bringing players in without a coach because you don't want to have the coach have to figure it out after. You'd love for it to all be done at the same time.
I have a semi-hot take here. I kind of think that they're waiting for Ziggy because I think a lot of people feel like Ziggy maybe is not going to be the coach heading into next year for Seattle. And, of course, Carlos Bocanegra and Ziggy go back decades at this point. And who better to lead a team in the first couple of years as an expansion franchise, given what Ziggy did with the Sounders. I mean, he hasn't gotten them to MLS Cup, but they've won everything else. They had stability from the go, and he knows how to win in this league.
The name that I would say is the perfect one that won't happen is Bob Bradley, and I think Ziggy's as close as you can get because I don't think Bob's coming to MLS anytime soon for anything that's not insane, and I don't know what would be insane enough to draw him. But I think Ziggy is right along those paths.
Interesting name to think about there. You mentioned that UCLA connection. Certainly him and Carlos go back a long, long way. Maybe that's why they're dragging their feet a little bit on that one. Atlanta United making moves. It's exciting stuff. See what they have in store in the coming years. I mentioned it. Let's go over this Chipotle homegrown roster really quick. Because, Dave, you and I were sitting here.
I threw out a hot take.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, you went semi-hot. Dave went flaming, like
flaming hot. Yeah, Ben, the research bear, almost bit my arm off.
He did. He did. We had to spray him in the eyes with I don't know what it is. It's a can of mace basically to get him off. But you're saying that you think this team could win MLS games?
Yes, I do. I think this team could win MLS games. I think when you look at putting together a 4-3-3 with this squad, I think you put together a team that. Okay, so maybe you would need to drop in a DP. Maybe you would need one star player to make it all
turn. At least give us your team before you start giving us the maybes.
Right, well,
I mean, you're going to go Jesse Gonzalez in that, right?
But either way, it's not a bad option in goal. You look at the back line, Justin Glad. Clearly, Matt Doyle is a fan of Justin Glad. You have Danilo Acosta, who they're trying in Salt Lake to turn into the next Beckerman, but his experience is as a center back, and he can still play there. Then you have a few other guys. Let's say fullback's not the best part of this team. Tyler Turner, Jalen Robinson's a center back for DC United, but has played fullback for Richmond.
Jordan Allen can play any position you want him to.
Love the midfield. Tyler Adams, Jordan Allen, Jay Chapman. You have Harrison Heath, who's hurt now, but looked pretty good against New York. And then a front line, you could throw Tommy Thompson in anywhere amongst the midfield or the front line. And then a front line, I think maybe you're looking at Jordan Morris.
Hamilton, probably?
Hamilton, and then either Thompson or McBean, depending on where you want to play
Morris.
You
didn't even mention Mendiola. I think Aaron Kovar is a quality player. Got a little bit more experience than some of these guys. Look, I know he doesn't have like kind of the sparkle. He's not 17 years old.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bench player.
Good player. Doyle, this team winning MLS games? Are you going to
No. No.
You're so lucky I can't mace you through the screen here.
Look, there's a lot of talent here, but it's not a super balanced team. I mean, if you want to start just pulling from all the ranks of the homegrowns, then you could add guys like Andy Nahar and Donnie Toya at the fullback spots. You could bring Matt Miazga back to play in central defense as well, put Bill Hamid in goal. Then you're talking a little bit. But this is, these are youth players for the most part. These are guys who have not broken through to any meaningful extent in MLS, and I don't think that they would walk into the league and win games, even though they might, on talent, be in the discussion.
There you have it. Matt Doyle saying that Landon Donovan probably not set up for management. Tough squad selection there, says Matt Doyle. Headline, headline, headline. Hey, look, I actually like that this team is younger. And I think it makes sense when you're playing the Mexico U-20s. I mean, you have to go a little bit younger in that sense, I think. And it also, most of these guys, when you look at them, they're not guys that came through the college system. They're guys that were signed straight out as teenagers, as homegrowns. Of course, there's a mix there. But I think that's exciting, and it should be pretty cool when they take on the Mexico U-20s on Wednesday, July 27th. Remember, that's a day before the All-Star game. That game's at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it somewhere. We're not sure quite where yet, but those details are coming soon. Let's talk about the weekend. Let's start with Jordan Morris. He scores again. He's got 7 in 18 games for the Sounders. This is what I would call, when I got online this morning and started watching highlights, MLS WTF. I mean, it's really not WTF, because Oscar Pereja, midweek in Seattle, he's done this before, and it's worked out for him. But he just kind of throws out a who-knows lineup, and he basically sacrificed Aubrey David to the Wolves.
Right. Can I just time out on it, though? Didn't we have Oscar Pereja on this show last year because he went to Columbus with a team full of homegrowns and guys who had never played and won?
Yeah.
So rather than saying Oscar Pereja doesn't care or didn't care about the
and
game.
And I didn't say that.
Well, then,
MLS WTF to me is like, What? Seattle just won 5-0.
But this is
Dallas.
Right. But this is what everyone was saying last night.
Right.
And Casey Keller was hammering at home on the broadcast for about 2 hours. It maybe Oscar Pereja thinks that his academy players are pretty good, and no, he's not putting out his best lineup in this game. But I don't think he went out there saying, "I don't care about this game." I think he put out a lineup that he thought could do okay. And if you put that lineup out there as their number one lineup, Figueroa is a World Cup and Premier League veteran.
Right.
Gets a red card and gives up a PK in the fourth minute. I don't know that the Dallas' number one team would have even come back from that.
Yeah, it's tough. Look, it's a really tough situation to be in. Figueroa, as you said, a handball kind of on the goal line there. He nicks it around. It looked like a legit red card to me. I mean, that's just what goes down when you put your hand in front of the ball when it's goal bound like that. But it did throw a big wrench in Oscar Pereja's plans. Clint Dempsey scores that PK, and then they loaded on, except Doyle. Then Dempsey got a red card for sticking his face in the hand of Juan Ortiz. He appears
other way around. Sticking his hand in the face.
That's what I said.
You said sticking the face in the hand.
Well, maybe Sounders fans sure thought he stuck his face in his hand. But look, I think he's not going to – we haven't heard anything about an appeal yet, but I can't imagine he would win this one. I mean, clearly gets his hand up there, and that's always a pretty straightforward call for the referees. This was Dempsey's first red in MLS. This was not quite the Gordie Howe hat trick, right? I mean, he got the goal, the assist, and the red card. But this affects them this weekend. We're going to talk a lot about this. What did you make of Dempsey's performance? What did you make of the Sounders? How much do we actually take away from this? Do we sit here and say, oh, turning point, 5-0 against the best team in the league, or is it kind of an outlier, one of those weird results that MLS, most leagues have from time to time?
Yeah, I think it's an outlier in the sense that they're not going to go out this weekend and win 5-0, but they're also, look, I don't think Seattle's the worst team in the Western Conference. I think they actually have a lot of good pieces. They just don't have that one centerpiece to bring it all together. And I've been, you know, hammering this drum just about all season long. Dempsey, I thought, played his best game of the season for 32 minutes or however long it was before the red card. And I thought he actually linked up with Jordan Morris a little bit, which is something that he had been struggling with as well. And I imagine it's super frustrating for the coaching staff and the fan base and probably the players to have seen that and said, okay, you know what, we've got something figured out, we can do this, and then have it all sort of unspooled with a bit of silliness from Dempsey. And, you know, and obviously you got to come in with a different game plan now on Sunday. It stinks. It absolutely stinks. But this is kind of who Clint is these days. You know, he had that meltdown last year in the Open Cup and deservedly will be suspended from the Open Cup basically forever. And this is, look, it was like a Three Stooges move. He slapped the guy in the back of the head and the front of the head at the same time. It was childish and it was amusing and it was a red card. And so we're not going to see him this weekend.
His face, though, he like didn't even look. Like Dempsey did the whole thing as if it wasn't happening. Like he himself wasn't doing it. And it was
like that old Simpsons clip where Bart walks through, I'm just going to be swinging my arms and I'll be kicking air if anybody happens to get in my way.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew what he was doing.
He did. Frustrated. Siggy Schmidt said afterwards that, hey, look, players target Clint Dempsey and he wishes that the refs would give more protections. Like, yeah, no joke. Any like elite attacking player in the world gets targeted. So that's just something that Clint Dempsey has to deal with. We'll see if he plays this weekend. That'll be a big talking point leading in. As I said, so far, haven't heard of an appeal, haven't heard of any sort of thing like that. If it's not appealed, he certainly will miss that match. Let's talk a little bit about another refereeing decision. This one, Alan Chapman put in writing afterwards that he missed. Portland and Montreal playing to a 1-1 draw. Portland getting the goal here from Jack Mack, who somehow just keeps scoring goals. He wins like a crowded header in a mob. Maybe the shortest.
The guy who was defending him didn't jump. Kyle Becker did not jump. Like that's how you win a header, is you have your defender just stand there flat-footed. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, good plan against Jack McInerney in the box. He now has 5 goals and 5 starts and 15 appearances for the Timbers. Like, you put him in a team, he will find a way to score goals when he's on the field. But Nacho Piatti is the guy who kind of got lucky, let's say, in this one. He absolutely...
He stomps on the back of
I was trying
Powell's
to find the
Achilles.
Right way to say that.
Yeah. But the thing is, Powell passes him. And so when it happened, he made it seem to the referee like he came out of nowhere and I didn't see it coming.
Right, he pointed to his eye like 15 times, right. Like, no, didn't see. But when you watch the replay.
He turns, looks at Powell,
engages him in the face.
Engages him with his arm,
right.
And then
asks him how his mother is,
sure.
And then gets him right in the back of the leg. So he's definitely got, I think, probably a suspension coming here. We haven't heard anything to that point. But here's what Alan Chapman said after the game. This got a yellow card. Chapman written in a written statement, which is how they do it after this. The pool reporter goes down there and gets comment. He said, on the field, the referee crew deemed the tackle by Piatti to be a reckless tackle worthy of a caution. After reviewing the play, in our opinion, the slow motion video reveals that a send-off for serious foul play was warranted. I'm guessing that that's going to be what goes down here, and Nacho will miss at least a game, perhaps more. We'll see. You have a note here for me, Dave, that's the fourth time this year. Or is that you, Matt? Fourth time this year that this has happened to a Portland player? It's been retribution, and the Discos had to wade in and figure this out?
Yeah, I think it's been four. They have a habit of drawing these pretty vicious fouls, and for whatever reason they get missed, and the disciplinary committee comes back and lays down the law. Look, it happens all over the league, Portland, just for whatever reason, seemed to get more of them than anybody else.
Jake Gleason's going to join us here a little bit later. Maybe we'll ask him about that, see if he can explain some of that. The goalkeeper for the Timbers, he'll be around in the second segment, so stick around for that one. Crew SC 1, Toronto 1. A weather delay on this one, just like Chicago and Sporting Kansas City. I just want to talk about Jordan Hamilton. That's what I want to talk about. Jay Hatman to Jordan Hamilton was the goal in this game for Toronto FC. Hamilton's 20. He's got 3 goals in his last 4 MLS games. This is with Josie Altidore out. I mean, these guys figured it out at TFC too, and they're doing it now at MLS level. I mean, this is exciting, though. This is what we want MLS teams to be doing. We want to be having 20-year-old forwards come up and produce and show something and say, oh, wow, they have been learning on the back end.
Yeah, and if TFC 2 doesn't exist, then these guys don't exist. And Toronto FC goes into these games without answers, like, by the way, FC Dallas did. And I think that this is the type of gap we're going to see between teams that invest in a USL team and those who don't. And look, Jordan Hamilton, you got to get. I mean, I gave the system credit. You got to give the kid credit. He's taken his opportunity. 3 goals in league play. I think he has another 2 in Canadian Championship. That's it. That's what you look for from a young player. And 3 months ago, we were saying, oh, Toronto FC needs to trade for a backup forward because Josie's hurt all the time. Well, now it doesn't matter. Josie's hurt all the time. You know Jordan Hamilton can come in and do the job. I'm less convinced about Chapman, but you know what? He had a chance last night. And he made a game-changing play, so you got to tip the cap there.
If you look at, let's say, the DP guys come back and everyone gets healthy or moderately healthy, almost their entire bench is young guys outside of Benoit Cheru, who's been phenomenal as well since Bradley and Johnson have been out. And that, to me, is perfect. You invested in stars. You built a team around them. And the question has always been, like, where are you going to find the budget MLS guys to put around them that you can afford but also – can get it done. And if this is the way that works, that's phenomenal, because they're going to learn from them, and hopefully in 3 years Jay Chapman and Jordan Hamilton are stars in their own
right
and are capable of being a bigger part of the team. You don't have to go out and replace a Josie or a Javinko whenever it is that their time is done, because you maybe have some in-house.
Speaking of Jovinko.
Or you have the flexibility. I mean, let's say at the end of the year they get the right offer for
right.
Josie. You could move him along and maybe go out and find your own Mauro Diaz to play as the number 10, because I do think that Greg Vanney wants to play in a diamond. So they have flexibility now that they didn't 3 or 4 months ago, which is, to me, that's how you build a team.
There you go. Giovinco, you mentioned him. He won the MLS Player of the Year at the ESPYs, so congratulations.
Kalen was pretty excited about that. You missed it.
What, really?
Kalen headed out with Kai for the ESPYs. It was Kalen's bucket list to go to an ESPYs one day. And I'm sure we all watched every single minute of it on television.
Probably on Snapchat, too. dragging on Kai's coattails. You heard me, Kalen. You heard me. look, Damien Perquis, he left Toronto FC. So they've got some room to work with. And they did have a lot of center backs. So that kind of makes sense in a sense. We'll see what they do with that space. Also, Marcus Haber was at this game, right, in Columbus?
He was tweeting from Columbus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't know if he was at
the game.
What's he doing in Columbus? What's he doing in Columbus? 27-year-old Canadian forward, last of a League Two team, which he didn't really score for. So we'll see what happens here. I don't think this one makes sense for Toronto. I don't know who it makes sense for. Really, he's a target guy. We'll see. Perhaps that's somebody the Crew bring in. By the way, the Crew have the worst points per game in MLS, which is surprising for a team.
Didn't you pick them to win the Supporter Shield?
I don't know what I did. I mean, I went to Colorado.
Doyle, I
don't know.
I wouldn't get on that horse too quickly.
don't know anything about that. Some other results here we want to go over. We'll talk more about in the second segment. New York 2, Orlando nothing. The Red Bulls get on the board with the W. Orlando's struggles continue. Kyle Larin did not start this game. Then he came in and he biffed some chances, so that was not a great way to go
Felipe,
for them.
Felipe, though, 4 goals this season, all 4 from outside the box.
Set pieces,
The second best in MLS is 2 goals. So every one of Felipe's goals is more than anyone else
has
outside
the box.
It seems
like there's like every year there's a kind of a box-to-box defensive midfielder that just starts banging them in from outside. Maybe this is Felipe's year. Connor Lade with a goal. We will talk about him in the second segment as well. I'm going to argue that he is the most likable player in MLS, and Dave is probably going to roll his
no,
eyes.
No, I didn't
no,
say
you
that.
Rolled him. Nope, you rolled him. Good Chicago.
Dude.
Michael Deleu with his first MLS goal, but Peter Vermees was mad about this one. Go watch these replays and listen, because you can hear 2 whistles. Peter said that threw off his defenders. I'm wondering what Matt Beisler is doing at the front post. Anyway, a 1-0 win for the Fire after a long rain delay in Chicago. A big, big win for them. Any points they can get are important points. Then Vancouver 2, RSL nothing. Teixeira. Christian Teixeira, what a goal. Go watch this thing. Left-footed, half-volley, top corner, almost decapitated Kendall Waston. Absolutely beautiful. A lot of highlights to check up with. You can watch them on the MLS app. You can go to MLSsoccer.com. You can do anything you want really there if you're into MLS. Also, there's a big couple games coming up this week, and Jake Gleason is a part of them. He's going to join us on the other side.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions. Judgment comes for you. What you gonna do when it ain't nowhere to hide? When judgment comes for you, cause it's gonna come for you.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Dave Goss, Andrew Wiebe, Jake Gleason coming up in just 1 second. A big Portland-Seattle game on Sunday to start off 3 games on Soccer Sunday. 3 p.m. Eastern on Big Fox. Before we get to Jake Gleason, real quick, I need you to pronounce the Timbers' new left-back signing, Dave. Go for it.
With pleasure. Vytautas Andrew Skavidžas.
Ooh, that was really well done.
Yeah,
I didn't think you were going to have that.
If you give me a pronunciation guide,
yeah,
I can pronounce things.
Vytas, as he's known, a 25-year-old left-back. The Timbers announced that signing today. They will take on their Cascadia rivals on Sunday. Jake Gleason, we assume, will be in goal. He is on the line now. Jake, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good here. I mean, do you get – I know it's your day off. And first of all, before I get into the butterflies, before a big game like this, what do you do on your day off? What is like a Jake Gleason normal day off look like?
I mean, it just kind of depends on the schedule. I mean, this week I'll definitely just taking it easier. I mean, my parents were in town, so I was just hanging out with them, just dropping off at the airport. But usually on a tight week like this, you kind of take it easy, maybe go for a swim and enjoy the sunshine for a little bit. But usually if we have a few days in between games, I'll get out on the golf course as much as I can.
What did you take your parents to do? What was the trip entailing?
No, we just went out and grabbed some brunch this morning. I just actually dropped them off at the airport. They were here for a few weeks, and so they're heading back to New Zealand.
you didn't host them, did you? I mean, are they, they're not. I assume they're not sleeping on the couch.
No, no, they're in a motel. They had a nice hotel. They had a nice place to stay. No, I'll give them my bed anyway, and I'll take the couch.
Is that what you're now with the trainers at the Timbers? How would they feel about that if you're getting your sleep on the couch? I know that in this day and age, that sleep is very important.
I'm sure they wouldn't be too happy about it. Maybe a nice spot on the floor, a nice air mattress would be a bit better. But no, they were comfortable in the hotel away from me, which is nice.
Now you're on the West Coast, but New Zealand is as long a trip as you could possibly take. How often do you get to go back there?
I try to go back once every 2 years. Maybe once a year would be ideal. But you know, we get 2 months off a year, and so I like to use the other year to kind of go maybe travel a different part of the world if I can. You know, having that break gives you a good opportunity to kind of travel around a little bit. So once every 2 years, I get to go back down there and see the family, and it's summer down there, so I get to enjoy the sunshine too.
So every other year, where are you going? Where have been some of these trips where you go see the world? I know that's a big part of kind of the culture in New Zealand and Australia, to really get out there at your age, but where have your travels taken you?
Yeah, well, obviously, I've only done it the last couple of years. So the first year, I actually just stayed in America and kind of went to the cities that I wanted to go to, like New York, San Francisco, Chicago. You know, it's a winter, so it's not ideal, but just to go see these cities that you get to travel to but don't really get to explore too much when you're playing. And then last year, I went over to Norway for a few weeks, which was kind of cool. And then so I'll go back home into this year, and then next year, probably to Europe again and travel around a little bit.
Now, for a lot of this time, you've been the backup there in Portland, and Adam Quarce has been hurt a few times, and you've been tossed into duty, and you've done quite well. I mean, we're out here sticking on the Save of the Week award, seeing all the highlights from you. Tell me about the life of kind of being a backup and being ambitious and trying to push into that spot. How do you balance your ambition with knowing when your time is?
Yeah, obviously it's difficult. You know, the goalkeeping position is a tough one because, you know, a lot of the goalies have longevity, and later on in their careers when they are often, you know, at their prime. So you have to be patient. You kind of have to just kind of grasp it out as best you can. So it's a lot different, you know, being back up. You know, in training is basically your game. You've got to go out there and perform and do as well as you can day in and day out, like you do as a starter. But, you know, that's when you kind of get all your work in, and then hopefully, you know, you get an opportunity to prove yourself. You know, obviously you never want to see someone get hurt. But obviously, you know, with Adam hitting his finger, it was a good chance for me to step in and play a few games. And, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I've always wondered this. You have friends, I'm sure, that you came up with who at 26 or 27, they're hitting their primes, and you're still being told you're a young player to bide your time. How weird is it for you to have that, where you're looking at guys who are saying, this might be my one big shot, and you're still kind of biding your time for maybe even a few more years?
Yeah, obviously it's difficult because, you know, a lot of times you think you're ready. You know, I think that saying, you know, if you're good enough, you're old enough is a big one. But like you said, it is tough and it's difficult, but you just have to know that, you know, when that chance comes, you have to be ready for it. So you have to kind of stay positive. And at the end of the day, you're playing soccer as a profession, so it can't be all that bad. You go out there and, you know, enjoy what you do and play in the sunshine and all that. So it's not as bad as it could be. So you definitely always got to stay positive on that side of it. But, you know, there was frustrating times. There were times where even myself, I was all, you know, is this what I'm going to do? But, you know, once you stick with it and that chance comes and you take it, you figure out why you do it, and you know, it was all worth it.
How much is the mental part of the game something that you really focus on? Because I would think that waiting part, the uncertainty part, the when is it going to happen part might be the most difficult part. I mean, the physical part, you can get out on the field and you can train and you can feel good and you can make saves and you see all that. It's the waiting. It's the hours at home. It's the people asking you about it that I think would be hard. How do you deal with it?
Yeah, obviously, it's frustrating at times. I mean, for me, it was just patience. I was like, you know, I'm putting in the work on the field. So I just had to, you know, think to myself that, you know, my time will come with the chance. You know, you can never guarantee that you're going to become a starter or you're going to play well. You just have to prepare yourself as best you can to take the opportunity when it comes. So for me, it was just trying to stay as positive as possible and try and, you know, I think the big thing for me was going on loan to Sacramento to play games down in the USL. That was a great experience down there. And then obviously T2 last year playing, his, you know, 20 games with them was great as well. So they kept the games ticking over and it kind of, you know, which is a big part of it. But just knowing that your time will come and staying as positive as you can. And I think that's the only thing you can do, really.
Your time came in the playoffs last year. You had a little injury there, and you jump in and do well. Three saves, get a good result. What's that feeling like? I think I read that you were coming out of the tunnel. You had no idea. How did this go down? What's that feeling when all of a sudden it's, you know, you go from, okay, I'm going to see what happens in this game. I'll be watching it on the bench to, hey, you're in. Let's go, Jake.
It was a funny one, actually. I woke up to a phone call from Aiden Brown, the goalie coach, and he said, Adam's sick. He woke up with a fever and he's not feeling well, so just be ready because he might not be able to go. So as I was pulling and walking into the stadium, I got a call from Adam and he said, I'm back at home, I'm sick, you're going today. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock, but like I said, it's the thing you've got to be ready for. So I was excited. It was one of those ones where you didn't really have too much time to think about it. You just go down, get prepared, get your body ready and go out and play. So for me, it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, I wasn't too nervous or thrown back by the situation. I was just ready to get out there and play the game.
Well, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday on Fox, you're playing against Seattle, and I can't imagine there's a more fun matchup for you guys as players to look forward to. How do you expect it to go down against this Seattle team right now that's, you know, pretty desperate for a win?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the rivalry is huge. You know, in my opinion, the biggest rivalry in MLS, you know, with the tension and the fans and everything like that. So, I mean, we expect it's going to be a battle like it always is. It's going to be, you know, people getting stuck in and it's going to be a grass. You know, the team that's coming off a good win on Wednesday night. So they'll be coming in feeling confident, feeling good. And, you know, but they're coming into our house and we have to put up a battle. But it's always an exciting match and one the boys definitely get up for and look forward to during the year.
Are people watching this in New Zealand? Do you have like a, is there going to be a watch party going on, the Jake Gleason watch party?
I don't know about that. I think they definitely get a few games down there on the TV. So I'm sure my family will either be watching it or they'll stream it or do something to find a way to watch it.
One more before I let you go here, Jake. I read that you have baked beans as your pregame meal. And that's just
yeah.
Baffling to me, man. Like, baked beans? Why baked beans?
Heinz baked beans. I guess it's like an English thing. Well, Liam Ridgewell actually kind of brought it back for me. When we were on the road, he asked for Heinz baked beans before a game. And I was like, well, it's kind of what I used to have sometimes in New Zealand. And I started eating them, and I was like, you know, this is a good pregame meal. It's simple, it's easy, it's quick, and it gives you what you need. So baked beans and eggs is what I had before a game.
There you go. Baked beans and eggs,
yeah.
Probably on Sunday. I would almost guarantee it on Sunday. 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Cascadia, Jake Gleason, we assume you'll be in net, man. If not, keep fighting. We want to see you out there. Good performances so far. Good luck with everything, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Big thanks to Jake Gleason. Taking his day off to talk to us. A big game this weekend on Sunday, starting off MLS Soccer Sunday on Fox. Big Fox, Portland, Seattle, 3 p.m. Eastern. Following that match is Montreal, New York City FC at 5 p.m. on ESPN, TSN, and RDS. I'm going to start with Mix Diskerud, and he's probably not going to be in this game day roster if, you know, recent history has anything to say about it. He's not been in that game day 18 for New York City since, I believe, the middle of June, and now Patrick Vieira is saying that he is basically he is surplus to requirements. They would entertain offers for Mix Diskerud. Vieira is saying he's behind Frank Lampard, Andrea Pirlo, and Mikey Lopez on the depth chart right now in New York. Here's the quote from Vieira on this Thursday. He is going through a difficult period because he's an international player and he needs and wants to play, Vieira said. I can understand his frustrations, and if there's a team that is around that is interested, then as a club we will talk about it. If he wants to play, he will have to do more than what he's doing the past few weeks. That doesn't sound like Mix Diskerud has much of a future in New York.
No, he doesn't, and he's got a little bit of a tough contract with 2 years more guaranteed. So the question is, can you trade him in MLS? It sounds like there's a few international options they want to look at, so they might want an international spot. when I look at the league, I think that this looks like a DC United move. Picking up a guy who's already in the league, which they consistently do, and I don't think
making the other team eat a bunch of salary.
And I don't think McDeLeon and Jared Jeffrey are really your starting central midfielders, and that gives him an opportunity to play because we still don't know what Mixtus Groot is. Is he a creative midfielder? Is he a box to box guy? Is he a holding mid or defensive mid the way Jurgen Klinsmann seems to think he
and
was?
That's kind of why it's not a DC United move, though. Like. When Ben Olsen picks up a player, it's usually someone who's proven in MLS and you know exactly what they are and they have a specific job to do. With Mix, he's none of those things. And I mean, Ben Olsen was one of the more hard-nosed player in the history of the U.S. national team program. Mix Diskerud is not that. He's not that kind of guy. So I don't think DC fits, but I think you're right that Mix is pretty clearly
but
on the trade block.
But the thing about that Ben sees right now, or Ben Olsen sees right now, I think, is he needs guys that aren't him. He needs capability. He needs talent and abilities on his team that wasn't what he brought as a player.
I don't think you could play Acosta and Diskerud in the same central midfield, though. I think you end up being too soft.
That might be true. That might be true. But I think right now with DeLeon and Jeffrey, you have a similar problem. Sarvas has to do a lot of the work on that team. Talented player. Doyle's probably right. I think if you're DC, you just got to get some assets on your team and get some talent there before you start trying to figure it out.
We got fans every team that listen to this podcast. Do you want Mix Diskerud?
Right.
What would you give up for him? Where does he fit with? I mean, you see your team every week. Maybe you've got an opinion. We'll read it. Maybe give you some swag as well. Another note from this game, Lampard v. Drogba. This is a relationship that goes way, way back. Drogba says he'll be back for this game on Twitter. He's had a thigh injury he's been dealing with, but he's ready to go, he says. But Lampard's the more effective of the two right now, by far. 4 goals in his last 5 games. We've talked about it. Montreal not exactly firing on all cylinders when Drogba's in the lineup. Frank says they're going to switch shirts, which I think everybody should expect. I say we make that a part of everyday life. So, after we have a good show here, Goss, I think you and I maybe switch.
I don't respect you enough to switch shirts.
Really?
Oh,
get out of here.
What if I just came up to you and started pulling up my collar?
Yeah.
I like when
they walk up and they just do that, where they just, grab their shirt, and it's like, I guess that's the universal sign for him trying to trade shirts with you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Also, we come in here, you compliment my fashion pretty often.
Yeah,
I feel
trying to upgrade my style.
Free upgrade of the
wardrobe. Maybe so. I think this is something you bring into everyday life. A guy mows your lawn, change shirts. No? Bad example?
I don't know.
That's a pretty bad example.
Yeah,
no matter
that,
what
that
you're
probably gonna... probably got the old silent treatment at home as well. Interesting stuff here coming out of Montreal as well. There's another Argentine forward. I mean, I feel like we just are going to talk about Argentine
which
targets.
Which is great, by the way.
All throughout the transfer
window.
That's
a good thing, because that is where talent should be coming from. It goes right now. There's young talent and developing talent in South America, and it goes to Europe, and they at times go to lower teams in big divisions, or they go to Eastern Europe or the Netherlands, and then they end up on a big club. MLS should be getting those players between South America. Copa Libertadores, you watch Copa Lib. The next year, you should be watching those guys in MLS. Sorry.
You didn't even wait for me to say the name.
No.
Marcelo Lorondo, he plays right now for Rosario Central. He's got 10 goals in 16 games for them right now in this stint. He's bounced around a little bit, was in Italy. 6'3 striker would seem to be kind of a Drogba replacement. So keep your eye out there. Looks like Montreal are shopping around. The finishing game on that Sunday, Philadelphia and New York, 7 p.m. Eastern on FS1. I'm going to just say it once again. Connor Wade is the most likable player in MLS, and the most likable team is Philadelphia Union. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think that you're wrong, because the most likable player is actually on the Philadelphia Union, and it's CJ Sapong. The dude is so human. I mean, he has had...
Connor Wade isn't.
I don't know Connor Wade. I think we all know CJ Sapong. We've seen him come in sort of out of nowhere and have that great first year and then fall off. You've, of course, had the issues with, I think it was a DUI a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Very open about confronting that demon. I just to see that type of story come good and hopefully stay good. We all screw up in this life, and I like to see someone who was able to sort of fly through that and end up becoming a better person and also a better soccer player. So CJ Sapong gets my vote.
There are a ton of great personalities in MLS. I think that's one of the reasons we like covering it. But AJ De La Garza is an angel of a human being. So I don't know what likable means, but AJ De La Garza, I think if he walked in snow, there'd be no footprints.
Well, let us know. I still I'm gonna throw Connor Wade out there. He's a guy. Look, he overcame so much. Even Tyrion Reed decided he liked him. Like, he's got to be likable if Tyrion Reed's out here liking this guy. So I say Connor Wade. You guys say whoever you want.
Union most likable team, though, in MLS?
I think so. I think so. And I think a big part of that, Doyle, you're right, is because CJ Sapong. But then you guys got, like, Sebastian Letou. Their back line
is
full.
I think everyone's happy to see Pontius.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but the Union Twitter handle. Oh, my God.
Not a fan?
No. Not a fan.
Not a fan?
Well, here's the other thing, though, in that conversation. Remember last year, and we've always talked about your league pass teams, your MLS Live teams? A lot of those teams haven't been performing that well. The teams that are like, yeah, they're fun to watch, even if they're not on the top of the standings. Teams like Columbus, teams like Vancouver. So I think Philadelphia has kind of picked that up this year for me as that team where it's like, this team's just fun to watch.
Let's do that. Coming out of the All-Star break, we'll do a entertainment value power rankings for the home stretch.
Look at that. Dave Goss, just coming with ideas on the fly. Remember, Uni Mas always on Fridays, Viernes de Football. This is a big one as well. L.A. Houston. This is like an MLS Cup rematch of many different times. I wish we had Kalen Carr here to just absolutely rub this one in. But we don't, unfortunately. 11 p.m.
So
Eastern.
Brutal.
Uni Mas on Friday. L.A., no Nigel de Jong. He got suspended an extra game for that tackle. And then Ashley Cole is out with a hamstring injury. One note for Houston. Kanor Brown, a 24-year-old Costa Rican center back. He's at Herediano right now. He's linked with a Houston move. Chris Kennedy came out and said, hey, nothing's done. But this would appear to be a pretty darn good move for them. 24 years old, basically started every game for Herediano for the last 2 years or so. I think 44 in the last calendar alone. So this guy plays. He's durable. 24, Costa Rican. We'll see what happens there. Houston, you would think they're going to make some moves. You'd also think they're going to figure out their head coaching position at some point this year. Saturday, we talked about D.C. here. They start the day off against Columbus, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Where else on MLS Live? D.C., we're talking about what they need. Well, they're linked with a Copa America Centenario star, Andy Polo, from Peru. Where else? But he's 21-year-old. He's on loan in Peru from Millonarios. Started two games in Copa. We'll see what happens, but apparently discussions fell through here recently. So this one may be cold. It may be hot. We'll see. Right now, it looks like possibly cold for D.C. United, but it seems clear that they are trying to make some sorts of moves, something. Columbus, Doyle, they've got to do something here. This isn't good. As I said, they have the worst points per game in the league, and the body language is quite poor.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, reading into stuff like body language is always dangerous because who knows what's really happening behind the scenes. But this looks like a team that doesn't have much belief in each other and aren't having any fun playing together at all, especially when they're defending. And if things don't go right over the next 2 weeks, their season's done. And they should know that by now and should be playing like it, and they haven't been.
Tough. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, MLS Live, hosting D.C. This, you would think, is a must-win game for them. Colorado Sporting Kansas City kicks us off at 9 p.m. It's our MLS Live game of the week.
Game of the day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a great game. It's a really good game.
KC going on the road. They come off that tough loss against Chicago, but they made some moves, so they still have a couple bullets in the chamber. And then Colorado, me and you were talking about it before. They've been phenomenal, but we think that they have another level, and we think Gashi's a guy who can take them there. Marco Papa back. He's a guy who can just create offense for a team that has been so good defensively. It'll be interesting to see how KC lines up against them, how they choose to go about playing against them.
Yeah, and Jermaine Jones. I mean, look, we haven't seen him as much recently because of that Copa America stuff, but when you get all these pieces together, if you get them all firing, they had so many distractions here in the summer. I still think this team could be a Supporters Shield team, and I kind of say that and kind of hesitate there, but I really think it could happen.
I mean, they're leading the league in points per game halfway through the year. Yeah. You got to say that there's no reason they can't at least make it a fight down to the last weekend.
Apparently, Sporting KC active in the market as well. They are going to, quote, try like heck, says Rob Heineman, to add a winger and attacking a midfielder before the summer window closes on August 3rd. We'll see how well they get those jobs done. They need a little bit of help, but they're starting to feel better these days despite that loss in Chicago. Dallas, Chicago, 9 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. This feels like a blowout waiting to happen. In Dallas, where Dallas are just juggernauts, and you got all those starters coming back, and they want to prove the 5-0 is not who they are, watch out, fire. I think this one, this is Jonathan Campbell's going to have his hands full. Let's just put it that way. Hopefully the rookie can get it done for the Fire. You can also check out RSL New England, 10 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live on Saturday. A little note here, Devin Sandoval loaned to Rio OKC for the rest of the NASL season. I'm shocked that there wasn't an MLS team willing to move in there, but maybe that was RSL saying, hey, kid has some value. We don't want you getting it from us. That game's at 10 p.m. Eastern. Vancouver, Orlando, I'm going to stop here real quick, 10 p.m. as well, TSN and MLS Live. Enrique Esqueda is there. He's a Pachuca forward. He's bounced around Mexico quite a bit. He has a couple caps with the Mexican national team. They're looking for goals, desperately looking for goals. 5'9 guy, has scored some goals in Liga MX. Is he the answer? Not sure. Will he be signed? Not sure. That's kind of the stage we're at in the transfer window right now. Orlando, Doyle, I'm just going to give you 30 seconds here, man, because what's going on? They don't have a coach. They don't have an identity. You're talking about the crew not looking like they like to play with each other. What state is Orlando in? That's a huge fan base, and I have to imagine all of them are wondering exactly that.
Yeah, I think that it's the same thing. I think if you look at the body language, it's not great. And if you just look at the way they play, one guy moves, and then the other guy moves, and then the other guy moves. It's always this cascade of things that happen. It's never in concert. There's never any sort of understanding of working as a unit. And look, that can happen when you change managers mid-season, as they've done here. But I still think it has way more to do with the constantly changing lineups and constantly changing directives from above over the past 10, 12 months. They had something with that 3-year plan, and they kind of tossed it away. And I think they're going to suffer because of it.
We'll see what happens on Saturday night, 10 p.m., Vancouver hosting Orlando. That's a long trip for the Lions. Finally, San Jose, Toronto, 10:30 p.m. Eastern to finish off Saturday. Also on MLS Live, Giovinco was the MVP last year. Who will it be this year, guys? I just want some guesses. I was looking at this and thinking, well, he's not a shoe-in. Last year it was just him and Kai and Benny, and that was pretty clear. This year it's a little bit more, of a mystery. More guys in the mix. It's still mid-year. I'm going to throw out David Villa, if NYCFC make the playoffs in
the
top two or three
one.
Seeds, I think he'll get it.
I think Doyle's going to say Mauro Diaz.
No, I'm saying David Villa. That's actually what I wrote in my column last week, so thank you guys for reading that. No.
Well, I thought we had to say names past what he had already said.
Though. I was sequestered, man. I couldn't read that.
I was
going to
say outside of Villa, I think Diaz, and we'll see what happens with Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Because if Doyle or Jones or Gashi steps
up. I mean, the team is the star for Colorado. You can't whittle it down to one guy. The one who nobody's saying, who I actually think deserves a shout, is Diego Valeri. He's been phenomenal this year. If there had been better finishing from the wingers earlier in the season, he would be at 12, 13 assists already, and I think he's got 7 or 8 goals as well. Do not sleep on Diego Valeri, folks.
Nobody does. Nobody does. You can watch them on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Cascadia, Seattle, and Portland on Fox. Check that one out. Big thanks to Jake Gleason for joining us. With that, we'll head to the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Bringing us back in here on Extra Time Radio. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, David Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst, Doyle. We are into the mailbag. Thanks to Jake Gleason for joining us in the last second. On his day off, too. On his day off. You can't get me to lift a finger on my day off.
I'm aware. I've tried.
Nah. MLS Fantasy winners here on this Thursday, because we had those midweek games. Seattle Sounders FC, managed by Barley Bill, 82 points. Barley Bill, I mean, so much more creative with your own name and your team name.
His own name is better than his team name.
Yeah, we'll hit you up on email, get you some swag, see what you might want, or we'll just send you something and hopefully you'll be happy with it. Farrell's Beard Trimmer, managed by Johannes, got 81 points. Almost in the swag position, Johannes. Almost. Remember to set your team for this weekend. MLS Fantasy X-Time Radio League, if you're not there, the code's on the page. We'll give you stuff. Do it.
Let's go to Liam in Orlando, and he says, in the opening credits, you guys are talking about reverse buyer's remorse and 11th dimension chess. It's in reference to DC United not signing Nocerino. After the week Orlando had, I'm having buyer's remorse on Nocerino. especially since I went to the airport to welcome him and sign my jersey. Now I'm embarrassed to tell people who the signature is. Also, I'm reminded of this horrible acquisition every Monday and Thursday when I listen to the show, which I apologize
for. Yeah, look, Liam, I think this is just the reality of fandom, right? I mean, your team's going to biff. Your team's going to have signings that don't work out. You're going to have some guy scribble on the back of your jersey that you refuse to tell people who is when they ask. I mean, look, this hasn't worked out. And Doyle, I think, you know, you kind of said it there. It hasn't worked out for a lot of reasons, but it hasn't worked out well this year for many people in Orlando. What's the issue with Nocerino? Does he stick around? Does he have a use if a new coach comes in? Can this guy become a high-level MLS player?
I think he can in a different scheme and maybe in a different locale entirely. He's still an elegant player. He still thinks the game very, very well. And you can use that in certain areas if you are able to cover up for his shortcomings in other areas. Orlando City haven't been able to do that. So I think Nocerino needs to go to a place that has a little bit more stability and a little bit more of a structure.
Like a DC United, Dave.
DC United.
Just perhaps. Yeah. I mean, maybe throw the...
Nocerino and Mick Siskerud are competitively on the same level of being productive MLS players right now. So
maybe on the same salary level, too.
Yeah, so there's not that much differencing between them. Although, one thing I'd like to say...
How peak MLS would it be if he got pulled out from DC United's nose, or at least that's the way they saw it,
right?
Goes to Orlando, and then he comes back to DC for like pennies on the dollar, and DC get the player they wanted for way less money all along.
Yeah, that's basically what happens in world soccer. You sell your player to the really big team, and then they sell you him back for less, and you spent a year without him, and like now Arda Turan still plays for Atletico Madrid,
right?
And he just got a bunch of money for it. That's kind of how soccer works. Interesting thing we didn't mention on the show, Jose Mourinho came under a lot of pressure for like not bringing youth players through, and apparently put out some like dossier of players that he's brought through. That's like his legacy. And
dossier.
I knew you were going to. I heard that little like that little yeah. cluck, that little like. Mm.
David Mateos was on that list of he brought him through at Real Madrid.
On that dossier.
Yes. I didn't say the word again. I just said list.
I wouldn't have either. Let's move it on, though. Scott Dickey, which MLS player will be the first to bust out a Pokemon goal? Go celebration. I mentioned this. I emerged in a world that was unlike the one that I knew before I was in the Rockies.
Augmented reality is the only thing that matters anymore.
Immediately, Dave picks up his phone, which I assume to mean that you are a Poke trainer.
I'm looking at my deck. I got a Galblatt, a Pidgeotto, a Pinsir, and an Ivysaur.
What's the one that like people want? I don't know how you would give like
what's like the best Pokemon?
Yeah, what's the one that you
have?
Well,
there are rare Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, but what's the one you have that other people don't?
None. I'm not very good at this.
So that's not that
cool. I went into Union Square the other day. Just a crowd of people on their phones. I hadn't really thought about it. Opened up my phone, started seeing all these Pokemon around, and realized everyone was there to play Pokemon Go. This game is bringing people together.
I heard that it's at MLS stadiums, too.
Oh, of course. They were at Seattle last night. They were at Red Bull Arena.
And Scott Dickey wants to know which is the player that's going to bust it out. It's got to be a young guy, right? Or I guess, I mean...
Well, remember a couple of years ago, Dom Dwyer got a yellow card for a cell phone selfie celebration. So I think the players are probably going to steer away from the Pokemon.
But you could fake phone it, and then you could have the other guy be the Pokemon.
Right. Or you could just bring a Pokeball. Just make a little Pokeball.
Oh my
hide
God.
That in the corner. Take that out. Chuck it at your friend. Have him roll up in a ball, and all of a sudden you captured him. Psyduck maybe? A Psyduck coming?
I have no idea what we're talking about. I'm looking at you with the blankest of stares.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is Ricky also in Orlando, although not that Ricky. And he says, players with dual Mexican-American nationality can be considered part of the 8 Mexican players if at any time in their first registration they hadn't turned 19. So Mexico coming out with this new rule that 8 of the players in your game day roster have to be Mexican players, can't be naturalized.
Mexican-born.
Right.
Yep.
Mexican-American they can be if they were registered when they were under the age of 19.
Which is problematic for Liga MX teams because – if you try to register a kid who's a minor under the age of 18, you kind of run afoul of some FIFA statutes regarding signing foreign minors. So
Hercules Gomez would not have been able to be considered a Mexican player. He would not have been.
But Paul Areola,
yes,
is because he was registered by his 19th birthday. Alex Zendejas.
That's what I was just going to say. Yep.
Yeah, he is fine because he's 18, but Alex Zendejas couldn't have been transferred a year ago because of the FIFA statutes prohibiting the transfer of minors to outside, to foreign clubs. Guys like Christian Pulisic get away with this, not get away with, but are able to move freely because he was able to get an EU passport, I believe, and that allowed him to train in Germany, given the EU rules. So you can see how, it is a maze and it is a tangled web, nominally to protect kids, but I think, as always with FIFA, there's much more to it than meets the eye.
What does this mean for MLS general managers, academy programs, young players coming up in the ranks here in the U.S.? What's the offshoot here? Is it, you know, because I think people listen to this conversation and think, oh, well, between the age of 18 and 19, if you want to go to Mexico at some point in your career, you should probably go. But that's problematic for MLS teams trying to sign academy stars. That's problematic for families who maybe don't want to see their teenage kid go to a different country.
It's dangerous for players because you only have so many years to play, and if you make the wrong decision, it's not over for you, but you want to have the time to make the right decision to get in the right situation. There are a ton of players around U.S. soccer who played professionally at a very young age in Mexico who are playing in the second and third division here in the U.S. because it just didn't work out for them, and it wasn't the right move to make. And so that's the issue on that side. I think it hurts U.S. soccer as a whole because there's just less opportunities for American soccer players just around the world. And I think that in the end, we've seen guys fall through the cracks that can be useful players, that can be high-level international players at times. And this, I think, Doyle just eliminates a few of those opportunities.
No, I don't disagree with that. And that's why continued growth of USL and NASL is so important. And this actually, I think, presents a huge opportunity for those two leagues in particular. And I think if they're aggressive and strategic and thoughtful about it, they can use this to their benefit.
We'll see what happens with this one. It's kind of an emerging story, one that we haven't seen the push on quite yet from, but there's a lot of discussion out there. Any thoughts you might have, we want to hear it. Any thoughts about anything we talked on the show, anything with Jake Gleason, anything about Soccer Sunday, hit us with them, perhaps mixed discrete. Maybe you want them on your team. I don't know. Let us know at Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com. As I said, make sure and tune in to Soccer Sunday. MLS, three straight games. Portland, Seattle starts us off at 3 on Big Fox. Montreal, NYCFC at 5 on ESPN. Then FS1 finishes the night off with Philly and New York. Watch them all. Let us know what you think. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, see you next time.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.